themselves continuously in trance and executing many types of austerities, many mystic yogis were unable to find the end of the path of God realization. Text 32. Ato nivartatam esha nirbandhas tava nishphalaha yatishyati bhavan kale shreyasam samupasthite. Ato nirvartatam esha nirbandastava nishphalaha yatishyati bhavan kale shreyasam samupasthite. Ato nirvartatam esha nirbandastava nishphalaha yatishyati bhavan kale shreyasam samupasthite. Ato nirvartatam esha nirbandastava nishphalaha yatishyati bhavan kale shreyasam samupasthite. Ato hereafter, nivartatam, just stop yourself, eshaha, this, nirbandhaha, determination, tava, your, nishphalaha, without any result, yatishyati, in the future, you should try. Bhavan, yourself. Kale, in due course of time. Shreyasam, opportunities. Samupasthite, being present. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. For this reason, my dear boy, you should not endeavor for this. It will not be successful. It is better that you go home. When you are grown up, by the mercy of the Lord, you will get a chance for these mystic performances. At the time, you may execute this function. Purport. Generally, a thoroughly trained person takes to spiritual perfection at the end of his life. According to the Vedic system, therefore, life is divided into four stages. In the beginning, one becomes a brahmachari, a student who studies Vedic knowledge under the authoritative guidance of a spiritual master. He then becomes a householder and executes household duties according to the Vedic processes. Then the householder becomes a vanaprastha, and gradually, when he is mature, he renounces household life and vanaprastha life also and takes to sannyas, completely devoting himself to devotional service. Generally, people think that childhood is meant for enjoying life by engaging oneself in sport and play. Youth is meant for enjoying the company of young girls, and when one becomes old, at the time of death, then he may try to execute devotional service or a mystic yoga process. But this conclusion is not for devotees who are actually serious. The great sage Narada is instructing Dhruva Maharaj just to test him. Actually, direct order in this, from any point of life, one should begin rendering devotional service. But it is the duty of a spiritual master to test the disciple to see how seriously he desires to execute devotional service. Then he may be initiated. Okay, so then here we have discussion between Narad Muni and Dhruva Maharaj, and it's actually Narad Muni instructing Dhruva Maharaj that he should forget about these austerities. He should just, he's too small, he should just be happy with being at house, and if he is still concerned about what happened to him now when he gets older, then he should do something about it. But he is doing it actually to see that he is serious about what he is going to perform, what he is going to do. Now, we can see even Narad Muni, now he went through very similar, in one sense, experience. When he was small, then he gets the association of Mahabhagavatas, then he gets a taste for Krishna consciousness, for devotional service, and by the providence, then his mother, who was his only relative, so then she leaves her body, and then he is alone. So he can now keep crying, be orphan, and what happened to me? But he understood that Krishna is his shelter by the association with the Mahabhagavatas previously, and he doesn't lament. He immediately takes the opportunity and goes for search for Krishna. So Narad Muni very well knows what Dhruva Maharaj wants to do. But he is going to become his spiritual master. That means he initiates him. He gives him shiksha. Then before he does that, he wants to see that he is going to be serious. Because the problem becomes, if he is not going to become serious, then the relationship will not be working properly. The guru instructs the disciple, and the disciple follows exactly the instructions given to him. If it's not being followed exactly, then the process will not be working 100% on the disciple. So, and by not following Guru's instructions, we nor the disciple commits aparat. So to avoid that, then the spiritual master must be sure before he gives instruction, then the student is ready to accept it, determined to follow it, and then he will go for it. It's for the sake of the disciple. One may think, oh, what do you think? Why I'm not qualified? Well, the spiritual master, he understands. He can discriminate. He can see who has the capacity, who has the will, who has the taste. So with him, he can work. He gives instruction, he follows, he advances. If he gives instruction and he doesn't follow, he will not advance. So then why should he stop him from advancing? That will be the spiritual master's responsibility. So then he doesn't do that. So he first sees that the disciple is qualified. So here he tries Dhruva Maharaj. He tells him, well, forget it, you are too small. He discourages. But Dhruva Maharaj, he is not like that. He has the determination and he is going to go for it. So that's the important point, that devotees should never be discouraged from taking up devotional service. And that can be at any time in his life. In fact, earlier it is, better it is, easier it is. Because for a young child to take up devotional service, there is not much of ego, there is not much of identity, there is not much of attachment. And devotional service can be fun. So, and boys like to do, you know, things which are fun. Being in the association of other boys, other devotees, and it can be, you know, something wonderful. So then they are eager to take up the devotional service. Once they become too much engrossed in that the desires and, you know, karma activities, it's much more difficult, because now we get bewildered. What is the right thing to do? Should I do the spiritual activities, or should I, you know, work to pay my bills? Now that's sometimes a very difficult dilemma what to do. So the children are not really concerned about it. So then it's an ideal age, an ideal time to take it up. So we have, here Prabhupada describes that for that reason, for one's elevation, then there is Varnashrama Dharma. So in a society, then there should be the proper four ashramas. So Brahmachari, Grihastha, then Vanaprastha, then Sannyas. So now these, the devotee goes through the Brahmachari ashram, and that's the ashram which he learns what he needs to know. What he needs to know for his life. He learns how to be sense controlled, he needs how to be sensitive, he learns how to deal with other people, and he learns how to, what is the method, how we can approach the Lord. So for that reason, then he gets samskara, which is called upanayana, which means taking one closer to God. So then he gets the samskara, and that means that he can start practicing how to worship the Lord and how to perform rituals. So then later on he can actually practice devotional service for the Lord. Now it's possible that it's most probable that the Brahmachari will not stay as a Brahmachari. That means he will not be as a Naishtika Brahmachari. He will most probably become Upakurvana Brahmachari. That means after a few years, after his graduation when he feels that he has gotten all the knowledge, experience and realization, whatever he needs for his life, then he graduates from the school. So then that means he becomes a grihastha. Now, in the grihastha ashram, it's very difficult to study. There is not much time to devote to studies, devote to practicing new things or getting into new things. So one has to reflect on what he knows, what he already experienced, what he realized from Brahmacharya Ashram. That's why it is recommended that the good grihastha becomes only from good Brahmacharya. The Brahmacharya must know what is right to do. Then if he knows how to be a proper Brahmacharya, then he can become proper grihastha. He is sensitive, sense control, he knows the dealings. So then there is something which when he gets married, so then he knows how to deal with his wife. He is not going to be lusting over something else, somebody else. He will be satisfied with whatever comes. And that's something which the wife can respect. Because of that, then she can remain chaste. So then there can be very strong bondage. And through that bondage, together they can help each other to go back to Godhead. That's the meaning of Grihastha Ashram. So when Grihastha Ashram is over, then one may take Vanaprastha. That means start renouncing the attachments of the Grihastha Ashram. And that's generally at the time when the children are grown up, educated, and they are capable of taking care of the mother. So and then, so Vanaprastha, it's like in between the sannyas, which is fully renouncing everything, the whole society, and the grihastha, which is now the time of, well, attachment. So it's like stage in between, but after that, then he goes, he renounces fully the bondage to the society, and as a sannyasi, now he goes around and he preaches to others based on his realizations how devotees should be dealing among themselves, what should be the process of devotional service, and how to understand it. So he shares his realizations, he preaches, and that way he fulfills the commitment of his life. By doing so, then he himself will become more and more realized. Now, to be able to actually understand how it works is, as Prabhupada many times mentioned, that the best is just to stay Brahmachari. And it's true. If somebody can stay as a Brahmachari throughout his life, then that will be the best option, because it's the easiest, most direct path. Now, the thing is that if that person remaining as a Brahmachari can follow the duties of a Brahmachari, not hankering for emotions which are not accessible in Brahmacharya Ashram, and he will not be lamenting that, say when he gets 60, 70, oh, why I didn't get married. So if he is sure that the emotions are not going to overtake his mind, then he may be successfully situated in the Brahmacharya Ashram, and then he follows the duties of a Brahmachari. He realizes Krishna through the devotional process following as a Brahmachari, and that's the best. But that those will not be many. Many will have some desires, deep-rooted desires, maybe not very clear, but as the time goes, one may see it like this, that, okay, he may come to the temple and then he may just express, well, I have some desire, I don't know, I'm thinking about woman, I don't know what to do. Oh, just distribute books and then just don't think about it. Which it will work, it may work very well, if he is able to get rid of the desire. If he is maintaining the desire and just trying to push it in, it may work for some time, but later on it will come up, and due to the strength of the lust, it may be very unpleasant. I know some devotees who did get married, you know, in their 40s, 50s, and just they were brahmacharis until that time, and some even got married to young non-devotee, get married into a family of meat eaters. It's just the attachment, the lust, just cannot overcome. And it's very sad to see that. But that can easily be, maybe not easily, but it can be prevented. How? Is that the brahmachari must be able to focus and be very honest to himself. If he sees that the attachments, there are some in the heart, he may decide, okay, I see that there is a possibility, I may think of getting married, but I'll give myself 2 years, 3 years, maybe 5 years, depends on the age, depends on the strength, and let's see what happens. But during that time, I give a vow to myself, I will be a brahmachari. I'm not going to think about women, I'm not going to engage myself with women, nothing to do. I will use the time to educate myself, to be a proper brahmachari. So then he will do that for some time. And then after the period, then he may see, oh, that was wonderful. All my desires vanished. I don't see any reasons why I should not remain brahmachari. Then he may continue as a brahmachari. If he, on other side, sees, well, no, I can't really tolerate that. No, it's so difficult to stay, you know, in the brahmachari ashram. No, they are not tolerant, they don't understand me. No, I got sick and they didn't take care of me properly. They just gave me prasad and they had to go to distribute books or to their duties. I need somebody, you know, really more, who will take care of me. So if that keeps increasing, so it's very unlikely one can stay as a brahmachari. So one should definitely think of maybe entering the grihastha ashram. And then while doing that, then it should be done properly. There are many ways how it can be done. But nowadays what we see as the love marriages, this is the one of the worst scenarios you can actually have. Because the brahmachari, as soon as you put him, okay, well, another experience which I had seen how it happened. Okay. Some friend wants to help his friend, seeing that he's really lamenting he wants to get married. So then he finds some girl and then does the chart. Okay, oh great, the chart works very well. The problem is that she's not a devotee. Oh, no problem, that will work out. She's almost a devotee. She just smokes once a week and then she drinks twice a week. But otherwise, it's okay. So, this completely misunderstanding of how we should use say, the Vedic sciences for devotional service. We see, okay, there is some match. No, it's okay, so then we should put them together. That's not at all the conclusion. First, and the most important is that if he is a devotee, serious devotee, she must be a serious devotee. Then only we can consider that the match should be there. But they should not know about each other. Why? Because as soon as they know about each other, immediately attachment comes. When there is attachment, so many compromises are being done. Oh, because from the example as I was saying, then the boy actually didn't mind. He's a serious devotee, but he didn't mind that she smoked and she drank. When we get married, she will give it up for me. It's not true. And we know that. But because of attachment, we believe that this is true. But the girl, as we see her, just before the marriage, this is the best we get. And after that, once she gets, if she's not properly trained, then she is going to do whatever she wants and not what he wants. So to avoid that, then there must be a way that we find out if they can fit by mentality, we can see the charts, and if we see that they will most probably make a good match, then you can put them together and see if they can themselves get along with each other. Because if they get attached at that moment, it's not a big problem. We know we did maximum for to see that they get matched together. So, and then when they get together, so then the first thing they should discuss is that what is each of them the desire, what is the goal, what they want to achieve. So if it is that both are serious devotees, then both should have the same goal. They want to achieve Krishna. Then it will be very good if they have the desire to live at some place, some temple, where there is association of devotees. And they should also agree on that, because understand that there are going to be difficulties sometimes. How they are going to deal with the difficulties. So they should agree to that they are willing to help each other. If he sees that she has difficulties with her spiritual life, even with her, say, material life, whatever desires, he should be eager to help. And the same the other way. If they agree to that, then they may see the same goal, and the path will be very similar. So then if they get together, they may achieve the goal, which is Krishna consciousness. If obstacles come now in the process of Grihastha Ashram, so then they already know, because they discuss things. Well, I feel really down, I cannot do, I'm really sorry. But they discussed, well, if you are in difficulty, I'm going to help you. So how is it that I can help you? So they will deal more like friends, more like helping each other. And that way, what will be the outcome of that? First, okay, there may be attachment, there will be affection, and there will be children. Now, as the children grow, then both of them should realize that we did maximum for our children to grow. Now there is no need anymore to maintain these attachments to the material world. So now the man should realize by performing austerity, because being a grihastha, in grihastha ashram, to perform the duties properly, it's a lot of austerities, huge amount. So through that austerity, he should realize it's all useless. It's all net. That should not me keep here in the material world, or the desire to again get born in the material world. I don't want to come back to this material world. So what am I to do? I am going to take vanaprastha and the sannyas. So everything is in proper order. He gets the realization that material world is not the place to be. Based on that realization, he gets the strength to get farther with these realizations, to get out of here and to be attached to Krishna. But at the same time, he sees the mother is properly taken care of, so then he has no anxiety that something will happen, or is that he can get fully detached from all the social scene and become sannyasi. So the brahmachari gets the So the brahmachari, he gets his realization through following the duties of a brahmacharya. And then, based on that, he understands this material world, it's useless. I'm not going to be here. I don't want to be here. So he renounces. And then he makes it as a brahmachari or just takes sannyas and then do activities of preaching. That's up to him. Or if that's not possible due to the desires, due to the need for the other kind of affections, so he takes grihastha ashram. But following the grihastha ashram, following the duties of a grihastha ashram, he becomes realized. And then he also at the end of it becomes can go back to Godhead. So the Varnashram system shows us how we can connect our mentality such a way so then we can serve Krishna. We can serve Krishna in the attribute of never forget Krishna. So we have our own attachments, our own desires, but we utilize those in devotional service. And then based on that we get purified, get rid of the desires, and then we can go back to Godhead. So it is a process of devotional service, and therefore as such then it's being utilized. That's one of the ways how we can go back to Godhead. The important point here is also that the Varnashram, it's a Daivi Varnashram. That means Krishna conscious. Krishna is in the center. Then we can utilize our activities to Krishna. Ordinary Varnashram will not take you back to Godhead. Just by performing activities, even the auspicious, will not take you back to Godhead. And that even in the brahmachari or grihastha ashram, it doesn't matter. Then as a devotees in the Daivi Varnashram system, then we should be also able to relate to each other. Many places then there are difficulties, especially between grihasthas and brahmacharis. The brahmacharis, they see grihasthas as fall downs. Right, that they were lusty, that's why they got married. And some grihasthas may see brahmacharis as pretenders, or they are anyway lusty, but they are just somehow surviving. If that attitude is there, then there is not much of chance of really progressing in devotional service. So we should find a way how we can respect each other. We have to find that we can respect all other devotees. Then we can progress. So how can a brahmachari respect a grihastha? So, for example, now brahmacharis may take care of a temple. Now the temple is being maintained. Okay, there's a brahmachari cooking, brahmachari doing puja, there are some brahmacharis cleaning the temple, and they are going for book distribution. So, okay, they maintain the temple. But whose temple is this? They should not think that this is their temple. The temple is Krishna's, and it's a place for the devotees to associate, for the devotees to come and have a darshan of the Lord. So we should see the grihasthas as devotees who can perform service in the, no, in the temple. We can respect that they actually, by taking the grihastha ashram, it's a great austerity. So to be able to do that, one must have a lot of determination. According to the Varnashram system, grihasthas are higher than brahmacharis. So then brahmacharis should give respect to grihasthas anyway. But then what there is, that the grihastha can respect on brahmachari. So he may say, well, he should also get married. No, why he, no, he's suffering. He's not suffering. What he can do is that he dedicate himself to studies, to contemplation, and he has time for realization. He has time to practice what he is studying. The grihastha, he may not have that much time, and he may not have that much of possibilities to apply. So what then they should do? The ideal thing is when the brahmacharis go and they visit the grihasthas, perform house programs, invite for feasts, have a sadhu sangha, and even just a small little chat or small little visits, it helps very, very much. How does it help? What is the secret? Because the brahmacharis, they have the time to study, to contemplate, and to realize. So the same way as you probably know the story about when Rupa Goswami was meditating on that Radha Krishna pastime, and at one point it was very funny, and then he was laughing. At the time there was a leper coming by, and then leprosy is not very nice disease, and it may cause somebody to really have inappropriate mood. So when he was passing by, at that time Rupa Goswami was laughing. So he really got the idea that Rupa Goswami was laughing at him. And he got offended. And he was a Vaishnava. So what happens? The pastime disappeared. And he didn't know why. Rupa Goswami wasn't sure what happened. So he went to his brother, Sanatana Goswami. And he told him what happened. Then, when he said that, then Sanatana Goswami said, you must have offended somebody. You must have committed some Vaishnava aparadha. He said, I'm not aware of any. I don't know. Maybe, but we have to find out. The only way to find out, we will make a big feast and we will invite all the Vaishnavas. And the one who is offended is sure not to come. So they invited all the Vaishnavas, and yes, one Vaishnava didn't come. It was the leper. So immediately when they went to him, and then Rupa Goswami, he begged for forgiveness for committing Vaishnava aparadha. And then he expressed, well, no, you were laughing at me. I didn't know know, why you are laughing at me? And, oh, but I was unaware of the externals. I was actually, you know, meditating on Krishna pastime, and the pastime, you know, was so funny. That's why I was laughing. So he immediately, you know, felt sorry for that, and they embraced each other. So they, you know, the leper completely, the devotee completely, you know, has forgiven to Rupa Goswami, and the pastime came back. But what's more, that realization, that pastime, also came to the devotee, the other devotee. So he immediately got on the same level as in the pastime as Rupa Goswami. So he got the chance to see and to be in the pastime. So it's not knowledge which, when you transmit, it gives very much, or it's given much importance. It's the realization. So when the grihasthas have not much time to practice, the brahmacharis do. But by the association of the brahmacharis and the grihasthas, if there is a proper mood, the brahmacharis can share their realizations with the grihasthas. So that the grihasthas, even though they are so busy and they cannot do so many things, they immediately can get the same level of realization as the brahmacharis have. So that way, that they can appreciate that brahmacharis studies and their practices. So they should encourage them. They should do anything, you know, what they can do to make it as comfortable as for them, so then they can practice, they can realize. And the brahmacharis, to appreciate that, they should go and then associate with the grihasthas to share their realizations. So that way, then it works very well. So if that's there, one can appreciate each other, one can respect each other, and everybody can be in proper devotional mood. So we can see the one point, the same goal, and everybody can achieve it if the association is proper. So, and then it doesn't really matter who is in which ashram, because each one has the chance to realize what is the goal of life. So based on this, then we have to be able to start our life properly. Those who have chance should do. Those who have not much chance, they should give chance to their children. How to do things properly, how to advance, teach them. So then the girls should be properly trained as future wives. The boys should be properly trained as a brahmacharis. Later on, if they become grihasthas or stays brahmachari, that's really not important thing. During these studies, they must practice brahmacharya. If that's there, then they will be capable of developing the society this way, and everything can work much better way. Okay, any questions? Yes. You have a mic somewhere?
Hare Krishna, thank you very much for that. You mentioned that if a brahmachari is overwhelmed by his emotions, he should marry, which is natural. But we see that on one hand, yes, he's overwhelmed by the emotions to marry, but on the other hand, practically he's not prepared.
Practically?
Practically, for practical purposes, he's not ready to marry. I mean, by that I mean, outside there, people can go on as fiancés and all that, girlfriend, boyfriend, and then continue for so many years before until they are ready in terms of income and all that. But here we don't have that room for this kind of relationship. So people take the license of marriage and they too soon find out that they are not ready to marry. And then there are difficulties. Because marriage means you have to have income. But otherwise it's miserable. So what do we want is to be done to solve this problem, to strike a balance?
Okay. So now, see, the Dharmapanashram system, it's geared for, so you can utilize your conditioned nature in Krishna consciousness, and then you can become elevated to get rid of your desires and eventually go back to Godhead. If you are fully on the transcendental platform, no, forget about Varnashram, just we can go Bhagavad Mark, just chant and fully dedicate our service to the Lord, not considering any of this. But if we are conditioned, we have to somehow utilize that nature in Krishna service. So then the Varnashram system is prescribed. And if a brahmachari can follow the duties of brahmachari in his ashram, he will gain the realization. He will not be agitated. He will be able to perform devotional service. And then he will be perfectly situated. If he cannot do that, there is no other option than to take grihastha ashram. Now, many of these brahmacharis, they have difficulty to take grihastha ashram because they don't want to. It's too much of work, too much of responsibilities. So then they take the best option of all. Don't be brahmachari, it means don't have authority. Don't be, you have no responsibilities. But, now, and have a job, have a money. This money you don't have to use because you have no responsibilities. So then you enjoy the money. So you become like a bachelor. You don't have to really follow brahmachari, but you are not a grihastha. You don't have to pay any kids, you don't have to pay anything, so you can enjoy. And when that comes, it seems this is the best of both. So being in between, it seems that that's the way to go, because I don't have to work much. I can enjoy, not much responsibilities, but at the same time, no authority. So I can have many facilities, but no responsibility. If that's the mentality, why one doesn't want to get married, guarantee, then there will no be realization. He will not be able to realize that the material world is not the place to live. In fact, he will think that's the best place to be. Because he will have the facilities based on how much money he has, how much he can enjoy, and he will not need any responsibilities. So then he will enjoy that, and he will not see difficulty in being in material life, material world. So then when he is going to leave his body, his thoughts may be, well, it wasn't so bad, then why not to come back? The brahmachari, by his austerities, he see how difficult it is. So he realizes, why should I do this? This is a nonsense. Let's get out. The grihastha, by his activities, he sees how difficult it is. Work so hard, don't get appreciation. Now, everybody screams at you. Everybody is on your case. No, whatever you do, it's wrong. So why to repeat again? He gets the realization. This is not the place to be. Get out. So it's either brahmachari or grihastha. There is nothing in between. Those who think that there is something in between, those are the losers. They won't gain the realization. They will not be able to understand that that's the ultimate. There may be some, they try. And even for a short time, and they realize, well, the marriage is terrible. Okay, he gets divorced and then he will never get married again. So he lives as a vanaprastha. That's another thing. But to think that we can enjoy, we can have facilities, without responsibilities, it's a nonsense. It won't work.
Okay, thank you.
So it depends on the mentality, why the devotee doesn't want to get married. So if he is decided not to get married because he wants to stay as a brahmachari, as an ashtaka brahmachari, great, that's good. Have authority, follow your guru, follow instructions, be engaged as a brahmachari, do everything what brahmacharis do, don't have facilities. No, live in the brahmachari ashram, do that, great, then it will be good. If you cannot do that, you need your own car, you need your own house, you need all the facilities, you need money, you want to enjoy, but you don't want to take responsibilities of your wife and children, that's a nonsense.
Okay, so thank you very much. Another question. The purpose of Vanaprastha is to perform austerities and penances so that you can come to a factual realization that you are not the body. So then you take sannyas and preach this philosophy. But now we all preach, even without this realization that we are not the body. So what is the value of this preaching as compared to the...
What is?
The value of this preaching. You have no realization of that you are not the body. See, the purpose of Vanaprastha is to perform austerity and penances so that you can come to a factual realization that you are not the body. Then you take sannyas and preach this philosophy.
Yes.
But now, we even from the beginning, we preach we are not the body without realization. So what is the value of this preaching as compared to that realization of the preaching of the one who has realized factually that he's not the body?
Well, you see, if you can realize that you are not this body right now, you are a very fortunate person and you don't have to even bother with any Varnashram system. You just go on preaching. If there is nothing to eat, you forget eating. Preach day and night, forget sleeping. Because Mahabhagavatas, they're not concerned about all this. So if we can do that, that's the best way. That's the best path. But if one cannot, I mean, this is the direct path. Always remember Krishna. If we can do that, not considering or not seeing any of our conditioning, anything which we are supposed to do, we do. Just because we want to, spontaneously. That's the best way. Now, if we cannot do that, then engage yourself, but never forgetting Krishna. So then how do you do that? You utilize your conditioning in the service of the Lord. So you may be good in some activities. No, I don't know. If you know maybe how to cook nicely, you may know how to worship deities nicely, you may know how to sing very nicely, whatever it is. Utilize that particular application, that particular attribute in Krishna consciousness. Do that. Prabhupada, no, he's very expert. He recognizes the potential in the devotee and he engages him according to his potential. So he brings the potential up because of the, and that may be the conditioning. But through that engaging of the conditioning, one likes to do that because that's what we like to do. If one likes to sing, if he sings for a deity, he does because he wants to. But doing so, he gets purified. So after he gets purified, he doesn't mind doing anything else. But if he is not purified, then he may mind doing it because he is not confident, or he doesn't know, he doesn't want to, or whatever reasons it may be. That's due to our conditioning. So to remove the conditioning, then we must do it by some system. Krishna prescribed a system. So he says, if you can do it, just fully surrendering to Krishna, do it. That's the best. But if you cannot, okay, so do activities and offer it to the Lord. Directly, the whole thing, activity, offer. Everything what you do, nothing for yourself. If you cannot do that, do the activity which you have to do due to your conditioning. Offer the fruits of the activity. By that you get purified. And then you will find a way how to offer the whole activity. then by that you find yourself fully surrendered to the Lord. So that's the process. This is the reason why it's being described this way. The Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for any kind of mentality. It's meant for devotees who want to elevate themselves to the path, by the path of devotional service, and achieve Krishna. And in Bhagavatam you find example of some devotee being elevated by process of devotional service based on any mentality, any possible mentality you can imagine. So everybody can find some way, somebody which really, you know, struck him or will be very close to his heart and will be able to say, oh, I like both Prahlad Maharaj. No, Dhruva Maharaj is the best. Oh, and you know, somebody may say some heroes, you know, from Bhagavatam, because it's very close to his heart, because this is his mentality, and that's how he would like to perform his devotional service. So this is the beauty of Srimad Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is for everybody. It gives everybody the chance to find his way, how to utilize his conditional nature in the service of the Lord. So that's why Prabhupada says first we should read the first 9 cantos to be able to utilize that nature, get purified by utilization it. And then after utilizing it, then we go to the 10th canto, and then we can appreciate the, you know, Krishna's names for qualities and pastimes.
Thank you.
Yes, take the mic.
Prabhu, you said that one after being in Grihastha Ashram for a short time may realize its problematic nature and take Vanaprastha, but we also know that renunciation from frustration is not recommended.
Renunciation?
From arising from frustration.
Well, okay, what is the frustration? If one, in the short period, now being in the Grihastha Ashram, realizes that that's not what it is, and then he can accept the authority and follow the duties of the brahmacharya or the vanaprastha, then it may be just enough time, you know, for him to be in the Grihastha Ashram. He may not think that, oh, she is a bad woman, I should get married to some other who is better than her. That's nonsense. But if he understands, well, they are all same, you know, the mentality is different, and I don't want to get involved, but I will accept authority and follow duties of the brahmachari, then there is nothing wrong on that. The only thing is, not shouldn't be children, not social obligations, that may be drawback. But I'm saying, if he realizes, it may be a very deep and good realization, may not be a problem. Yes.
Also, it is said that not everybody should take sannyasa. Is any devotee qualified to take sannyasa by his devotional realization?
See, what is sannyas for? Sannyas is for sharing the realizations. Going preaching, so one may be doing that. That's those who are capable of actually doing that. That sannyasi shouldn't stay at one place too long, or should travel and preach. So preaching activities, devotional service. That's the main activity which sannyasi should perform. If one is still kind of like a more withdrawn, being a vanaprastha, it's not a bad option. Because there is already the renunciation is there, so he may travel even with his wife, and then being renounced that way, and then preach their realization more to just Grihastha community or whatever it may be. But it's possible. But for those who have the capacity to go preach and share the realization, they should take sannyas, because the sannyas gives them more opportunities. Okay, so we'll end here. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Nitai Gaur Paramananda. Oh, there is. When brahmacharis practice good brahmacharya due to his desire or influence, at time, if he gets married, then after a few years, if he has not properly situated in grihastha ashram and feels brahmacharya was good and wanted to practice it again, what would be the situation of Mataji remaining alone? How can we understand this? Well, that's the problem, that if we get entangled in the social scenes, that it may be difficult. So one may have a difficulties leaving the wife, and it may be because of a desire, he may not be able to go back to brahmacharya ashram. One who is more renounced, then he may just request her, please go to your father's house, remain there, and I'm taking sannyas. Ramanujacharya, right, when he was just waiting for his wife giving birth, and then just when she gave the birth, then he was undecided, should he leave or should he stay? Then he started to get attached to the child, but then he was undecided. But then he saw that there was some tiktiki. From the egg just got born, and immediately running, and there was a fly, and just catch the fly. So he understood that Krishna provides for everybody. So everybody is taken care of by Krishna. So even though he has a husband, if he takes to sannyas, still Krishna provides everything for the wife and for the child. So then he left and took sannyas. Hare Krishna.